Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. And now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We will hear from Al's brother a little bit later on. I think Al's brother deserves some sort of a moment to comment on the back and forth between Team Al Dog and Team Jerry King with what's going on in the NFL and the bets between the two parties. And
a little disappointed. Like, get your own material. That's all I'm saying. If you have something to say, you were bringing all of my comments, especially when you called my guy Tommy.
Oh, you knew that was coming, man.
No,
I warned you. I told
you
to stop. And you should have heard this guy on Saturday, Noodles, because, of course, and I'm never going to do this again. I'm never betting against the Packers ever again. It was a horrible experience.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching them. I'm like, win, but just win by seven and push.
Right,
you know, like,
right.
Just keep it close, and that's a horrible experience if you're a fan of a team. I'll never do that again. But the Rams, of course, don't cover. Then the Bills kind of blow out Baltimore, and I'm hearing from this guy all Saturday because he started 2-0.
I think I threw one in even Sunday morning. Like I said, I've never told anybody this, but Allen's always been my guy.
And I was sitting on it, and I'm like, I got to throw a dagger. I shut up after the Kansas City game because the Browns covered. I felt good about that. And then my boy Tommy comes over the top rope on the Sunday nighter, and we go 2-2 over the weekend. And listen, you know,
what does Tommy do, Hayes, if it doesn't work out for him? Like, he might go out if they win. Like, does he come back again?
Oh, he's back next year. I think 100, and especially now he's in the NFC Championship game. And he played pretty well. He wasn't great, but he didn't have to be great. That defense was so good. Three interceptions and a fumble recovery. Four turnovers handed to Tom Brady. Like, no one's going to screw that up.
Oh, you gave him the game. You gave him the game.
Handed the game to him. And he got the job done, to his credit. But he's definitely coming back. I think he would have come back if they went 6-10 and his numbers were terrible. He would have been back. NFC Championship game, no Drew Brees anymore in New Orleans. He's definitely coming back.
Yeah, he's crazy, coming back, man. For sure.
And the fans will be back next year too, right? You have to presume, like, by September it's going to be. And you know where they play next year, Tampa? At New England.
Ooh.
My understanding
is. You think that one game would be a factor in his decision?
I don't think it's the number one factor. It may not be somewhere in the top 10, but you don't think a guy like Tom Brady, you know, he's paying attention. You know he's paying attention to the fact that Belichick is golfing right now and he's preparing for another championship game.
Right.
Like, that's, you know, Belichick, it fell apart for them, and Tom Brady's still playing. I'll bet you he can't wait to get up there next year. That the place will be full. They're going to go crazy for him. You know it's going to be a Sunday night game or a Monday night game. It's not going to be a 1 o'clock game. There's no chance. They'll probably retire his number that night. I wouldn't be shocked. It'd be incredible. And I'll bet you Brady will go out there and put on a clinic. And I saw these stats earlier. I think Bleacher Report tweeted this stuff out. Just to put this into perspective, Tom Brady has beaten 18 different teams in the playoffs. 18. Playoff wins versus NFC opponents. This is his first year in the NFC. Drew Brees has beaten the NFC opponents 8 times in his career. Tom Brady has beaten them 8 times because he's got 6 Super Bowls against them, and he's already run 2 this year. He's already got the same amount of wins against the NFC as Drew Brees. He's been in the league for a year, or in the division for a year. Game-winning playoff drives, 13. Playoff losses, career, 11. He's got more game-winning playoff drives than playoff losses, and he has 32 career playoff wins. That is twice as many as the second quarterback, who has 16. Like, his numbers are just staggering, and he's just going to continue to add to it. I like Green Bay next week. I think they're going to win, and it's not biased. I think they're the best team in the NFC. I think they've looked very good all year. I think they looked really good this past weekend. But that defense scares me, and Tom Brady's not going to hand it to anybody. He's not going to throw 3 picks.
They slapped Green Bay around the last time they were in Tampa.
They sure did.
They slapped them around.
Yep, they sure did. And that was the defense that did it. You know, Brady just did exactly what he was supposed to. Don't turn the ball over. You know, throw a couple of bombs when you have to. Move the chains. And that's exactly what he's done. He's kind of he's basically a system quarterback now more than ever. He's not a guy that's expected to throw 400 or 500 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns. With that defense, you don't have to.
I agree.
So
he just has to be good. He doesn't have to be great. That's the thing, and that's what he's done.
Dude, I watched Tom Brady live at the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. It was one of their first Super Bowls against the Eagles. I'm like, okay, it's Brady live. What am I seeing here? It was 10-yard passes the whole game.
Yep.
It was nothing where I was like, oh, wow. It was just everything was dialed in, but there was nothing earth-shattering about the performance.
He just gets it done, man.
Yeah, and that's it. If you're a defensive coordinator, you're like, this guy probably knows exactly what I'm going to throw at him, and he's going to take exactly what I'm going to give him. You know, just move the chains, touchdown, move the chains, field goal. If we got a punt, like early on, they punted, I believe, their first two possessions. No concern. All good. We get the ball back. Just keep plugging away.
That's probably like Sam Mitchell's golf game. Just move it down the middle, and then get dialed in around the green.
Exactly what I expect out of Sam. I don't think it's flashy. I don't think it's long off the tee.
Augusta.
I think it's just accurate, and it's on the money, and he rolls putts. Because that's how you win. That's how you win dough, right? What do they say?
That's right.
Drive for show.
Putt for dough.
Here he is, longtime NBA head coach, player, coach of the year up here in Toronto, our TSN NBA and Raptors analyst, Sam Mitchell. Is that an accurate assessment of your golf game?
Very, man. You guys act like you've actually played with me before, but that's very accurate. I'm not long, like people would think, because of my height and background. I'm not long, but I'm accurate. And I'm a streaky putter, so I can get hot on the greens. But the thing that I do, I keep it in play. And I give myself a chance for par, guys. My motto is, in the group of guys that I play with, par going to beat them. If I can make 18 pars, I'm going to win a lot of dough.
Yep.
Yeah, so what is that saying about the guys you play with? They're basically not very good because they never threaten with a birdie. Let's get serious.
No. They are. They're good, man. Some of these guys, I have one friend I played with. He missed qualifying for the senior U.S. Open by one shot. So I think we're some good players, guys. But the thing about it, they're always attacking the pin. So they're always putting themselves in a tough situation. I'm middle of the green, two putt, take my par and go on.
Do you ever walk in a putt like Kevin Na? Because this guy is famous, man. He did it again all weekend in Hawaii. He'll have a 20-foot putt. It'll be 10 feet out, and he starts walking it in at the cup. It's outrageous.
I do when my friends are talking trash. And, you know, like one of my friends, a drain, a putt, and start talking trash and count his money before he can put it in his pocket. And I like to be that guy that put in last with everything on the line and drain a 15-footer to break their heart. I love it. And then when I do that, I do my, I do my little dance, my little jig, and I take my hat off, and I slam it on the green, and I point to all the fake fans in the crowd that's applauding me.
Sam, I got to ask you before we get to the basketball stuff, Sam. Like, does the money ever get, like, in the way of the friendship? Like, of a couple of your buddies, I know you got tons of money, but, like, did they ever say, like, I just don't want to keep doing this? Does it ever get, like, friction, or it's all cool?
No, it's cool, man, because to be honest with you, we don't bet that much, man. I mean, we normally bet $20, $40 on a good day. We'll play some type of skins game or something like that. But we never, because we're all such good friends, there's about 12 of us that play together quite regularly. We never bet each other over 50, 75
Perfect.
Bucks.
Perfect.
Our whole thing, it's not about the money, guys. We're not trying to pay no bills out there. We just got to have a little something on the line, add a little pressure, and to give you bragging rights. And what we normally do, whoever wins the most money picks up the check for lunch. So we always give it back.
That's the play. We're chatting with Sam Mitchell ahead of the Raptors game tonight. Dallas taking on the Raps in Tampa. The Raptors favorite out of Vegas tonight. And, you know, speaking about just being cool, calm, and collected, I'm watching the end of the game on Saturday night, and it's basically the Raptors have the lead. Charlotte's trying to foul. And the Raps, I believe, are coming out of a timeout. They inbound the ball. Chris Boucher gets the ball. Now, if this happened a year ago, you know, Nick Nurse would pass out. You'd be like, A, why is Boucher on the court in this situation? B, he's got it, and he's got to close this game. But that wasn't the case because Boucher steps up to the line, drains both free throws. His free throw percentage has been impressive. His numbers have been off the charts. He was a rebound away from a double-double on Saturday night. I don't know what's happened with Chris Boucher. I don't know how it's gotten to this point where he is playing with confidence and he is contributing. But I hope it can keep up. Are you a believer that maybe they've found something, he's found something, and this could be sustainable for Boucher and the Raptors?
I think so, guys. When you watch this young man play, first of all, he's unafraid. You know, and I know people talk trash. Say, sometimes he'll take some bad shots. Well, guess what, guys? The guys that have confidence in themselves, every now and then going to take a bad shot here and there. But he's learned from it. And the thing that I like about Chris is that he accepts coaching. And the reason I say that, not being there, is look how his game has changed. He's not taking bad shots. He's not making dumb mental error mistakes like he did in the past. He's the best center. He's an accurate three-point shooter. He sails out. Anytime he has to contest a three in the corner, I mean, he sails out and goes after it. He blocks shots. And right now, you know, look, Nick Nurse has been starting him in some games in the second half, coming out of halftime. But I think at some point, this kid is pushing for a starting job. And I know you want to balance out the lineup, but at some point, Nick's going to have to think about seriously starting this kid at center.
I agree. I mean, I don't think Nick Nurse has really any faith in Aaron Baines right now. He's still playing very limited minutes, if at all. Alex Len is what he is. You know, Boucher is not your conventional 7-foot, you know, 280-pound presence, but he works. You know, and he allows Siakam, I think more importantly, he allows Siakam to play a position that he's probably more comfortable with as well, right? He can take a little bit of the load off Siakam, where if you're playing Norm instead of Boucher, Pascal's got to be the five. You know, he's got to control the paint. He's got to give you more rebounds. And I think that's another part of the factor here.
And I like that, guy. I like that. It takes Pascal from living at that three-point line. We've seen – look, Leo says this all the time, Leo Routon. The three-point shot should be part of your arsenal. It shouldn't be your main arsenal when you're Pascal Siakam. And it used to make me cringe when I would watch him in games have more three-point attempts than free throws. I mean, he's got to get down here. He's got to get to the basket. And he has to score in a lot of different ways. You know, for me, you know, knocking a three here and there, get to the free throw line, get out in transition, get some baskets off offensive rebounds and post up, and that's how you get your 22 to 25 every night.
Luka Doncic in town tonight. We've spoken about him many times with you on the show, and he's a walking, talking triple-double now. I mean, he's basically averaging a triple-double. I think he's just short. But his team's a 500 club. You know, he's kind of – it's kind of like Russ to an extent when he was in Oklahoma City. You know, it's like
No.
You don't see it that way? You think Dallas is better? You think he's in a different position or what?
Yeah, I think they're better. And especially when Porzingis, you know, he's back now. When he gets healthy, gets his timing. Remember now, this is the same Dallas Mavericks team that had the Clippers on the rope last year in the first round of the playoffs. And you think about it. If Porzingis doesn't go down in game one, Dallas won game two. They could have beat the Clippers. I really thought they could have beat the Clippers if they would have had a healthy Porzingis. So we're not going to see the real Dallas team until he gets back and get into the fold. But I'm not going to go there yet with Luka that he has triple-doubles that don't equate to wins. You know, Russ, that's been said about Russ. The triple-double's been watered down since I played. But I still say Luka triple-doubles can equate to wins once he gets his teammates back and they're healthy.
Sam, speaking of Luka, he's looking a little – I mean, you've seen me in person. You know how chiseled I am. does Luka – he looks a little bit beefy out there, doesn't he? What's up with that?
Man, he is just a big-boned guy, old dog. He's just big. But think about this, man. People are talking about, well, his weight. Well, we can always get in a little bit better condition. But look at the things that he does. And the thing that I love about this dude is no matter how you pressure him, no matter what you do, you cannot speed him up. And the reason you can't speed him up is that size, that girth, that size, that height, and his ability to handle the ball. I mean, that ball is just an extension of the fingers on his hand. So anytime you have that command of the ball and you have that command of your body and you have size, you know, and you have poise, if teams can't speed you up, then they can't get you off the game.
Sam, speaking of looking a little beefy and then a guy who had a very quick transition, James Harden goes from Houston and in the New York area, and he looks like he's 20 pounds lighter overnight. I don't know if you saw that on the internet or not.
I'm telling you, he was wearing a fat suit in Houston. He was.
Just a demand.
Well, he was still getting 30 with a fat suit on, but yeah. James Harden is a unique talent, man. I don't think the NBA has ever seen anything quite like him. When you look at his strength, his ability to handle the ball, go anywhere on the court, and that step back three is lethal. He's also one of the smartest players, one of the best passers, and I think this is going to work in Brooklyn for this reason. James Harden, Kevin Durant are going to make it work because they understand their legacy is not about scoring titles and all-star selections. they're going to get those things. It's about winning championships. Not getting to the finals, but winning. Durant has two, Kyrie has one, and James Harden has none. And for people that's trying to dog James Harden out, remember this. If Chris Paul doesn't pull his hamstring in game six against Golden State, we might be talking about James Harden in a different light, because they could have very well went on and won the championship that year if Chris Paul would have stayed healthy.
With Sam Mitchell, you narrated a really incredible piece up on TSN.ca. It's going to be on SportsCenter. We'll tweet it out. It's Martin Luther King Day down in the States. Can you take us through, you know, what this day means for you? When I mean, it comes around every year, and it's an important day every single year. But can you take it through, you know, take us through your thought process on Martin Luther King Day today?
Well, it just reminds me of my father when I was a little kid growing up, how limited of options he had as a young man. You know, my father was basically told the two or three things he could do in life. He was never allowed to dream and dream big, to expand his horizon, to think about what if. My father and my mother never had that dream. So when I think about what Martin Luther King, through his struggle, through his death, the way he lived his life, to give people like myself and others an opportunity to be successful. And at the end of the day, you know, these words, the things that he talked about, the content of your character, not about who you are, and what you have. It's about who you are as a person and how you deal with your fellow man. And guys, I'll say this now, especially in the United States and all around the world, let's just find the simple things in life. You know, we all have our political parties. We all have our beliefs. But at the end of the day, if we could just be kind to one another, it don't take any money. It don't take me joining your political party. It doesn't take anything to be kind to each other. And I think if we just start with that, with kindness and just a little bit respect and just listen a little bit, you know, the world would be in a much better place. But Martin Luther King, for me, my family, and the opportunities that have afforded me, he means everything.
Again, you can find Sam's narrated piece up on TSN.ca, SportsCenter. We'll tweet it out, post it everywhere. Great stuff as always, Sam. We always appreciate you taking time for us. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Hey, man, you guys take care of yourself and be safe, because I got some friends in the hospital right now dealing with COVID, and they are struggling, man. They're on ventilators. They have semi-paralysis, can't speak. I mean, this COVID is wreaking havoc, man. I know we're all tired of it. I know we have COVID fatigue, but I tell people this all the time. You know what I get tired of worse than COVID? Being sick or dying.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Take care of yourself.
Yep, it's a great point. You too, buddy. Wow. Thank you for this. There
all
is
right,
Sam Mitchell, longtime NBA head coach, player, coach of the year up here in Toronto, friend of the show, Raptors analyst. And, again, we urge you to find that up on TSN.ca. Martin Luther King Day down in the States today, and what he just said, you know, rings true as well. COVID. I mean, that COVID doesn't discriminate. We know that. And we're still dealing with it up here. They're certainly dealing with it down in Georgia where Sam is, and it's not going away anytime soon. So,
agreed. Yeah,
the Leafs are in action tonight. The Raptors are in action tonight. We'll continue to tee up both those. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. And I think Al's brother is going to join us here and debut his power rankings of the All-Canadian Division. We're only about 5 days in, but I guess we'll do this on a weekly basis. And naturally,
how would you like it presented? One team at a time or the full list?
I think maybe he fires off. Well, let's take the break and think about that.
Yeah,
right,
You think about it. You're the host. You think about how you want it displayed.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
We'll go from there. That sounds good to me. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Okay, so the Leafs are in action tonight. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm looking at that total. The total goals is 6.5. I feel like it's going under tonight. Like feel like Anderson's got to bounce back. Hellebuck's playing tonight, you know. I don't think these teams, like, it's so early in the year, you see a lot of mistakes. Laine's not going tonight, which is a bummer. I don't know if Ehlers is at 100%. You know, these teams are trying to hammer home Keith and Maurice. Like, let's keep it under control. Let's focus on defense. I could see a 3-2 game tonight. Maybe 4-2 with an empty net. That goes under the number. But, yeah, you're getting some plus money, too, on the over, like, or on the under. Like, Vegas is basically telling you they think it's going to be 5-4. 8-7 tonight, which would be thoroughly entertaining. But These are two of the seven teams currently in the Canadian division, as we know. And you came up with this, I guess. Oh, you were speaking with Al's brother. You guys are teammates, and you were probably, you know, patting each other on the back on Saturday after you went 2-0, and then decide. Like, Al's brother is so quiet when he loses bets. I didn't hear a peep out of him yesterday.
Dude, I'm his guy, and he doesn't even talk to me. He doesn't even say, like, oh, darn on that one. Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Just crickets. He's so loud.
Yeah. Here's what's going to happen. This is Al's brother's power ranking for the Canadian division. We'll touch on it every Monday, where he will line up his seven teams in order of what he's seen up until then. Okay. Small sample size now. I think you said 5 days. And you can't be a homer, Al's brother, and just be Mikey Canuck guy, as you like to be. So it's got to be based on results. It's ultimately your list, so who am I kidding? You can do whatever you want.
He's going 7-1. Exactly. There you go. So this is how we're going to start it. We've never done this before. Al's brother, I believe you're on the mic. And I guess we'll let you get a quick comment in on going 2-for-2 over the weekend, and then we'll get to your power rankings.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were hoping to go 4-0 on the weekend, so a 2-2 isn't quite what we were looking for. But you know what? I got to give my hat to old Tommy. He did enough to get by, but really, Breeze and the Saints beat themselves, or else we would have been. I want to go on the Browns myself anyway, so I had to be on KC for that one. And kudos to you for going against the grain and going with the Browns. But hey, 2-2, it could have been a lot worse. Could have been better, but could have been worse.
Yep, it definitely could have. Well, I mean, you guys were free rolling basically for even going into Sunday. That's the best feeling in the world. I haven't won the first game yet through 2 weeks. You know, you win the first game and it's like, hey, I feel like I'm on to something here, let alone the first two. But okay, I'm assuming you got Ottawa at number 7, but a quick blurb on number 7 in your power rankings up in Canada. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. I got Ottawa at number 7, and you know, they're tough to play against, and they played pretty well, especially on Friday night against Toronto. I felt like they just don't have enough game breakers yet. They're still young, but you look at that team, a guy like Josh Norris, he's a nice piece, but can he be a number 2 for 56 games without being exposed? Not too sure. So right now, I have them comfortably at number 7, but they can move up as the season goes. I like what I've seen from them so far.
Okay, there you go, Al's brother. Heavy analysis. I like it. Yeah,
I'm loving what I'm hearing.
Yeah, they were, you know, it's such a cliche. They play hard, as if, you know, talented teams don't play hard. Everyone plays hard. It's the National Hockey League, but they're built a little bit different, right? Like they've got Austin Watson there. They got Colbert in there. They got some kind of grizzled vets. Stepan, you know, he's gone Messier up top. There's a bunch of guys that bring a little bit of a different ingredient. And that Stutzla goal on Saturday night was unbelievable.
Just like, ask Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell liked it too, buddy.
Yeah,
Jack Campbell wanted to shake his hand. Come on, dude. You wanted to wrap your stick around the post.
Your stick in his eye. You don't want to.
That was a ridiculous comment.
It was so stupid.
It's so goofy. Like, good for Jack Campbell. Seems like a genuinely great guy.
He is a great guy, but I don't need that comment. I don't need to shake anybody's hand after they've scored on me.
Yeah, they scored to make it 3-2.
My best buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't have that. It's not acceptable. All right, Ottawa at 7. Who do you have at number 6, Al's brother?
I've got the Edmonton Oilers at number 6. Yeah, wow. Edmonton. And
Vancouver should be there, but anyways, super fan over
this
here,
is
Vancouver.
Great.
No. Let the man.
Oh, Mikey Canuck.
If I'm not mistaken, the Canucks did get a win against Edmonton earlier in the year in game one. But anyways, to me, it's just they haven't improved their goaltending. Mike Smith also now injured. Koskinen, I'm not so sold that he's a man who can get it done in Edmonton. You know, no Oscar Klefbom. That's kind of proven to be a little bit of an issue. They really didn't play well against Montreal on Saturday either. They don't have the secondary scoring. So when guys like McDavid and Draisaitl aren't out there doing it all, this team just isn't able to muster up any offense to compete, and that's what we saw night one in Vancouver, and again on night three when they played against the Canadiens.
Okay, that seems like reasonable analysis. Noodles, go ahead.
Draisaitl had 6 slot shots on Carey Price the other night. The only difference was Carey Price over Koskinen. That's the difference.
Well, it was 5-1 probably by that point, too. But
No.
Would only agree with this selection at number 6 just as kind of an overall temperature of Oilers fans.
I'm just telling you right now.
Just say you hate
Edmonton's
Mikey Canuck.
A better team than Vancouver. Like,
okay.
They are, personally.
Okay. I like
it. And keep in mind, just so you guys know, that Edmonton's allowed 11 goal or 12 goals. Guess who's allowed 11?
The team that's 2-1 and atop the standings.
Yeah,
the Leafs
team could be 2-2. Both teams, Edmonton could be 2-2 tonight, and so could the Leafs.
Yeah,
just remember.
Hey,
that.
Listen, maybe the Leafs are number 5. I mean, we got
to. Oh no, the Leafs should be 1.
Al's brother, I'm warning you. Actually, Montreal is going to hate your guts after this.
This is going to be.
But this is the
my
thing.
Favorite.
It is such a tight division. Like you can chuck most of these teams in a blender, and they come out however which way, right?
Okay. I'm just telling you that. All right, go ahead.
No,
go
ahead. That's okay. All right, go ahead, right. Al's brother. And I don't want you to feel intimidated by Noodles.
No, I don't.
Don't let him bully you.
My list. I feel good on my list.
I speak truth. I don't speak with emotion. That's the difference. I'm not a super fan of any team. That's okay. Why I don't care.
All right, Al's brother, where do you have
number
at 5?
Well, I would disagree because you're a little bit of a super fan of the Winnipeg Jets, which does come in at number 5 here on my list.
God. Yeah, want to know?
Give back.
Come in at 5. Boy, this guy doesn't know hockey.
Goodness.
This guy doesn't outstanding. Know hockey.
He's got Winnipeg at 5, who are 1-0 in the season.
Yeah.
You know, playing pretty well. Your Vancouver Canucks. They are freaking
Canucks
in Vancouver.
Yeah, they're number 1. But
okay,
hang
go
on.
Ahead. Explain
let
yourself.
The man explain himself at number 5.
To me, look, they've only played 1 game, so it is tough to decide, you know, whether or not they are a solid team at this point. But I still think their back end is a little bit of a question mark. I think Logan Stanley's going to end up in the lineup tonight. We'll see what he's got. He was a first rounder a few years back. The depth on this team isn't as good as others. Look at the top 6. As elite as a top 6 maybe in the entire league, but after that it falls a little bit. Patrick Laine now dealing with an injury. We'll see if he can end up coming back sooner rather than later, especially in a condensed 56-game season. If he loses out on, 3-4 weeks, that could hurt them. But for me, it's mainly just still a question mark on the back end for the Jets, and the fact we haven't seen them play much, only the 1 game. And, won.
So they're a victim of their schedule.
Let's all agree. It's tough to assess on 1 game only.
I could agree with Edmonton at 6, to be honest. I can't agree with Winnipeg at 5.
Now,
especially with what I've seen from Vancouver.
Well,
like they Vancouver should be 5 or 6 right now.
I agree with that based on what I've seen. I mean, I kind of came into the year thinking Vancouver. I didn't think Vancouver was going to make it. And listen, it doesn't matter what we've seen so far. That we all said a million times,
right.
Anything could happen 1 through 6. Like this isn't me saying, I think Tampa's going to miss. Like that's a hot take. Or I think Colorado's going to win the division. That's not a hot take either. Any combination of these teams. Is a possibility moving forward. But
good point, yeah.
It's listen, I Al's brother, I like it. You got Ottawa at 7, you got Edmonton at 6, Winnipeg at 5. Who do you have at number 4?
And here I do have the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, there we go.
There it is.
Super fan, make the playoff battle.
Yeah, they're a playoff team right now.
In my opinion, you look at this team and where they've struggled so far is the power play. They're 0-11 on the power play, and this without a guy like JT Miller, who really was dynamite last season, especially on the power play. He comes in, draws into lineup now. Going forward, I like the Vancouver Canucks as one of the better teams here in this country. I'm not as upset about, the drop-off from Markstrom to the goalie. Why can't I think of his name?
Holtby. Holtby and Demko.
Yeah, because the defense also got a big upgrade by adding in Schmidt and Hamonic. So I like what I've seen from this Vancouver team.
Hamonic looked like
upgrade.
You on playing goal, playing D the other night.
Hamonic is not an upgrade on Tanev.
No, he's not. Schmidt is, but he's an upgrade on Troy Stetcher.
Yeah,
who was there last year?
Not much.
Hamonic
hasn't played a game in a calendar year.
You guys be quiet. He's Mikey Canuck for a reason. This is his team. He's explaining himself.
Okay, likes him at 4. This is where it's going to get interesting because the top 3 I think could be any. I think based on what we've seen, I would probably have Montreal at number 1, but I'm not sure where we're going to go here. Who do we have at number 3?
I got Montreal at number 3. So not at number 1, but number 3.
Okay, explain yourself, Al's
Look,
brother.
Hey, they're a deep, good team. Great defense. Carey Price, obviously the one of the best goalies of our era. They looked pretty good against Toronto. I would say arguably they looked better than Toronto despite getting the loss the first night. They beat up on Edmonton on Saturday. But to me, it's not so much that they've looked bad. They've looked great. I just think that the other two teams of Toronto and Calgary have been better to this point.
Okay, that's reasonable.
I think better to this point.
I think they are too. I didn't think we talked enough about Calgary this year. Coming into the season, I love the Markstrom signing. I like their team. I like the way they're built. I like the mixture of guys and their style of play. I had all three of these teams making the playoffs. Again, it means nothing 5 days into the season.
Right.
But this makes sense to me. Some combination of Toronto, Calgary, Montreal in the top 3. I could listen to it. I could hear it. I mean, I'm okay with all that.
The question is, what is next?
Okay. Who do you have at number two, Els, brother?
I've got the Calgary Flames at number two. And I really, this Markstrom signing makes his team elite. They've got the four scoring forwards that are pretty much as good as, you know, the guys you got in Toronto and Vancouver. And they got a stout defensive unit. But that goalie really makes his team elite. And they could truly challenge to win this division. I know all the talk was coming in that Toronto was the number one team. But I really believe that Calgary can give them a run for the money.
I just don't agree, Al's brother. Calgary's the number one team right now. They've showed it. They look like it. They've got balance. They've got a different look to it. Toronto wasn't very good in Game 1. They stunk to join out in Game 2, and they grinded out the Sens in Game 3. And I'm guessing you have them at number one.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Well, yeah, there's nobody else.
Well, I don't think the Leafs grind. Saturday night was like they demolished all. Yeah. That should not have been 3-2. That was a joke in terms of like possession, in terms of chances. That wasn't even close.
But oh, you're a possession guy now. Are you a possession guy now? I just need to know.
Eye test, it doesn't matter. You watch that game. That was not a close game. That was not. And the night before, Ottawa was better, deserved to win. Like, it's not. It's just a reality watching that game. I don't think it means anything because that should have happened the way they played the night before, and they're a better team, a more talented team with higher expectations.
You don't agree that Calgary should be one in the power rankings for this
I just said I think
segment.
Montreal.
I thought Montreal,
with what they did on Saturday night,
was
they dominated that game.
I think Montreal is the deepest. There's no weaknesses in their lineup, and I think they've played the best in their two games.
I think they don't have a superstar game changer still. Like, that is still a weakness. You can't tell me Suzuki is a lock to score you big goals all the time. Josh Anderson's off to a good start. He's a good player. He's not a great
Carey Price,
player.
Price, how's the goalie look?
Price is as a goaltender.
That's
but if it becomes
breaker.
A shootout, it was a shootout. Who is the most talented player up front on that team where you say, is it Philip Deneau?
No,
you know, is it Gallagher?
Suzuki, probably.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not going to win this argument with you because you guys, I'm just telling you, I believe Montreal is the deepest, most rounded team in Canada, and they've proven it over two games.
And Hayes, I will say one thing defending Mikey Canuck and Jamie. I think sometimes you focus too much on almost like the status of a player. Like on any given night, Suzuki couldn't be better than an Austin Matthews.
Well,
just because
a guy
shoots the puck better doesn't mean that a Suzuki can't be on a better team than an Austin Matthews.
I understand what he's saying. Game breakers, and I understand that, and I respect that 100%. But I look at there is no game breakers on the third and fourth line for the Leafs. Whereas maybe I look at Montreal and they've got more balance there.
I can't disagree with that.
I think
they've got a better 1-6. I think they've got a better goalie. I'm not arguing in terms of the depth. I'm just saying that it's not like it's not like a foregone conclusion or you can't pick something out of Montreal's status where you're like, but wait a minute, what if it gets to this point?
Because
I still think, you know, depth is important. Depth can get you a long way. You know, at some point, I think someone's going to have to kind of drive that team. And I still don't know if that's been determined. I'm not sure if you're going to find that guy. It's not a shot at Suzuki. I love the way this kid plays. And he keeps getting better and better and better. It's just if we're comparing it to the other teams in the country, you know, you can pretty much pick out one from every team short of Ottawa. I think every team outside of Ottawa has at least one, if not two, sometimes three or four players where you're like, that guy's got a better chance of just saying, I'm going over the boards and I'm changing the game right now.
It depends on, I mean, Gallagher obviously is a 30-goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Tatar's a 25. Toffoli's a 25. Like, what they've done is good. They've just got 20 goal scorers everywhere. They're balanced. That's where I'm saying, like, if you're on a given night, if your top guys aren't scoring or aren't doing something, the bottom of the roster is not giving you anything. Well, Kerfoot scored the other night, you know.
No, but he's not offering much. I'm just saying, that's my
whole point is, you're right. If you just go number one centerman versus number one centerman, there's no comparison. But that's why it's not just a one-off.
No, of course it's not. Maybe I might be putting the cart before the horse and talking about the end goal here. I think having, especially in a condensed season, and you're seeing the same teams time after time after time, I think that'll greatly benefit Montreal. I had Montreal making the playoffs. Again, it doesn't matter, but I like them. I like their team. I think they have drastically improved. I'm on board with what a lot of other people think. But what I'm saying is I think at some point, if you want to take that extra step, and right now it's not in front of you. Played three games. It doesn't matter. But Tampa, you know, was it Blake Coleman was very good. Yanni Gourde was really good. McDonough was good. But who won them a Stanley Cup? Who won it in Pittsburgh? Who won it in Washington? You know, like at some point, I just don't see Montreal getting to that point. You know, I just don't see them getting to a point where I'm like, okay, they've gone from a very good team to, wow, great cup contending team, because I think they lack the high-end talent. Right. And I think that's indisputable. Like, I don't think you can argue against that.
I think their high-end talent isn't scorers. I think it's on the back end. Like, that's the difference. The high-end talent is they're built from the back up instead of the front down.
Yeah, and like, Petrie's had a great start. Weber is what he is.
Like, that Romanoff looks like his player, Carey Price. Like, that – you're right. I don't disagree with that, but I'm talking about –
It's like a Baltimore Ravens football
team
with Joe Flacco as the quarterback. That's what it's like.
I think Montreal's going to get a lot of points this year. I guess that's my point in the standings.
I think you're right. I think they're finishing top four, and I wouldn't be shocked if they win the division. I wouldn't be shocked. I still think the Leafs – we'll get there. I think the Leafs will be somewhere between 1 and 4. I think Montreal will be somewhere. I think Calgary will. Those are the three teams I feel most confident in. You know, now a goaltender goes down, injuries to a couple of players,
COVID. Yeah, we
different story. But for me, you know, as it currently stands, and the power rankings 5 days in haven't changed any of that. I still think Winnipeg, Vancouver, Edmonton are going to be fighting it out for that fourth seed.
Well, I think they're garbage rankings to have Winnipeg at 5. Like, when they are just as deep as anybody in the country.
Al's brother, like, I know you're a professional, but was it difficult for you not to have Vancouver at number one? Or were you able to stay in the moment and be
Well, that's why
you
put him at 4.
No, that was easy to not. They're clearly not even in the top three. They're not even in the conversation. It's that 4, 5, and 6 was really where it became tough, where you're going to put them at.
Okay.
But for me, it was more the fact that I know that this team is, they haven't had JT Miller, who's a massive part of that team. He's a massive part of that power play that was top 5 last year. And so far this year without him is 0 for 11. Like, you think about that, if he goes out there with JT Miller and they end up scoring, you know, maybe 2 or 3 more goals on the power play, how different do these games look if they're scored at the right time?
I'll bring up one other thing, too, is Calgary just took a bunch of wins from Vancouver based on how Markstrom played. And he's got to play Vancouver 9 more times.
Yeah.
If I'm Vancouver, I'm scared of that alone.
Yep.
Because Markstrom and Mikey Canuck, you saw this last year. How many times did he actually single-handedly get them points because they're garbage defensively?
Oh, so many. Like, he was the team's MVP last year. And
he's
it was
been their
tough.
MVP the last 2 years.
100%. And it's tough that they let him go, especially at the number that he ended up getting.
$6 million, yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, I still think that Braden Holtby is a decent goaltender. And I don't think it's not a massive drop-off to the point where I don't think Vancouver is still in the conversation here to make the playoffs.
Good segment. We all hate each other. Let's come back after
break. Perfect. That was a great segment.
I love it. Just throwing a grenade right into the middle of the show.
just hatred everywhere. Love
Winnipeg
it.
Winnipeg.
This is
fine.
What's going to happen. This is what we've been talking about, though. This is what's happening in the country, everywhere. Because everyone's got a friend who's a Canucks fan, who's from Edmonton, who loves the Habs, and all it is you hear. Like, I can't tell you how many buddies have sent me texts already. Like, hey, want to put some action down on the game tonight? And it's never happened before. Like, why all of a sudden are we betting Leafs-Habs opening night or Leafs-Sens? And it's the same thing. I know someone from Winnipeg. They're like, you like the Jets tonight? Like, this is going to be happening all year.
Al's brother, it's his rankings. We just have to debate. We have to be friendly. We can't be jerks to him.
We love Al's brother.
We love Al's brother.
It's totally sensible.
It's content, and he's developing it, and he works hard at this list. We have to respect it. We don't have to agree with it. We have to respect it.
Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the Leaf game, Raptor game one more time. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. And I'm looking at the NHL board tonight. I've talked myself into the under. Toronto, Winnipeg.
Really?
That's 6.5. That's a big number. These two teams score at will, though.
You can't see a 4-3 or a 5-3.
I could absolutely see it. I could see it being 3-1 at the end of the first.
You're right.
You know, like, but it's too good. Like, Freddie's got to have a bounce back tonight, don't you think? You know, and the team has
disagree,
to defend better.
But I'm
just telling you, that's a bad bet. That's stupid.
I'd go over it, and the reason being, too, is Winnipeg's missing Poolman and DeMello. That's their right side. Oof. I mean, Stanley's coming in.
It'll
watch
be
this monster.
After
6'7".
One
He's 6'7", that defenseman, that Stanley, 230.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they're just going to bleed him in at the bottom. But, like, it just... But I'm not going to talk you into it.
Hey,
you're right. It'll be 3-1 or something.
Let's see. Let's see what happens tonight. I'm on Philly. Yeah. Like, Philly's been out. Like, they dismantled Pittsburgh.
They look good, man.
They look good.
They went from the bubble where they couldn't do anything to being dynamite. Love it.
Well, and they got Buffalo tonight. Like, Buffalo, you talk about panic in Buffalo. Like, here we go again. Good start to the year. Jack Eichel doesn't want to talk about the past, but they lose in Philly, and I think they will. I'm on Philly tonight. My boy, Jake Voracek, I think he comes out with an attitude tonight. And St. Louis over San Jose. Throw down 20. You can score 80. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, Line A's out. A couple of defensemen are out. The Leafs are going with 11 forward, 7D tonight. Mikko Lehtinen making his NHL debut. And I'm curious to see what he's got. You know, we've heard enough about him, and I wouldn't say Sheldon Keefe was giving him rave reviews a week ago, but what do you think he's going to play? 9, 10 minutes?
Well, I hope not. I'm a big believer in, like, give the kid an opportunity to show you something as a coach. Not solely the first thing he has in his head is, this guy's only going to put me on if the fourth line for the other team's out there or some garbage situation. It's just a tough way to start. If it's a tight game, you don't really want to do that, but you got to let them show something.
Well, I agree. But then who comes, like, whose minutes get depleted? That's it. When you got 7D, I always feel like, you know, you're trying to rotate through. You're basically going to rotate the bottom guys, right?
Bottom three. Exactly.
And that's not a lot of minutes to be thrown around. You do have Omeis. I think he's going to see some power play time, too. Mm-hmm. See if he can handle the puck. It looks like he's got a pretty good shot. He's got a really big blade. That's the one thing I noticed. I'd like to see him get some minutes where he can at least try and settle in, you know, for his sake.
I hope so, too. I'm curious to see him play. And I think it'll likely be more him and Dermott that'll kind of rotate. I think there's a chance Bogosian will skip a shift here or there, maybe on the fly, and Dermott and Lehtinen go out together.
Yeah.
But you got 11 forward. Spez is going tonight, right? Like, he's on waivers, and now he's back in the lineup. And we'll see how many minutes can Matthews and Marner continue to rack up. You know, they're going to play 25 minutes again tonight when they got four games and, what is it, six nights? It's not going to be easy to keep that pace up. But we'll see. The game's coming up right here on TSN Radio. Bonesy and Ralphie with the call. And Raptors in action tonight. That's going to be a fun one. Dallas and Luka Doncic take it on the Raptors. So we got those two games. We're looking ahead to the championship games in the NFL later in the week. There's a lot cooking here. And we're off and running. Quality little Monday for the boys, for the hombres, for the muchachos.
Yes. Yes. The three amigos.
The three amigos.
There you go.
Feeling very good about it. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We are back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
Ooh.
Por favor.
We'll chat then.
We'll hable then.
We'll hable then.